So amped up right now, like it, right? Calm down. That was so good. I love praising Jesus. I love good music and God. Awesome. All right. Before anything happens, we're gonna pray because if I don't, I'll probably just like fall down the stairs and you guys will be like, "What is this guy doing?" All right. So let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We love you. We try to do stuff on our own and we fail. We try so hard, we want to, but that's not the way that you wired us. We need you, we need each other. We're gonna talk about that today. So I pray that the words that I speak are your words. It's nothing that I came up with, it's not my opinion, none of that. I pray that only what is said is from you. And I pray that you will work in all of our hearts. There might be some truth that's difficult, but I pray that you're giving us ears to hear and hearts that are ready to take it in and apply it because it's what you say is wise. Lord, we love you so much. We need you. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us like you promise for those who love you. You are good, God. You are better than anything. You're our Savior, and this is all for you. I pray that this honors and glorifies you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm trying something new. I'm going to sit in this seat. How's this look? Natural? Comfortable? Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not really a fan of being in front of people like this. So, God, just, you know, do a work. Guys, it's been a week and a half, right? It's been a little difficult. I think we can all agree on that. It's been more difficult for others, harder for some than others. But collectively and individually, it's been a trial. It's been something that we're working through. All right. Personally, in my life over the past week and a half, it's been hard, and God has been like pushing me. All right. And it's forced me to do some hard a self-assessment, all right, which God calls us to do. All right. He calls us to look at ourselves and see if how we're living is aligning with what he says is right and true. And if we're not taking these self-assessments every once in a while, at least, then we can get off track. All right. So that's what God's been doing in my heart and in my life over the past week and a half. So I've been searching for wisdom as I've been questioning areas of my life to see how they align with God's direction, how I'm approaching relationships, how I'm approaching friendships. Am I honoring God in those things? All right, that's what I've been working through. All right, so as I am searching for wisdom, I'm like, okay, I need to go to Proverbs. All right, because Proverbs is an awesome book filled with tons of nuggets of wisdom, all right? It's called the Ancient Wisdom Sayings, all right? Written by the wisest man to ever walk the earth aside from Jesus, King Solomon, all right? So these are ancient wisdom sayings that are timeless. They were applicable and effective back when Solomon was king, and they're applicable and effective and wise to follow today. They're timeless, all right? We have modern wisdom sayings, right? They're awesome, great, right? Like, the early bird gets the worm, all right? And let's see, what else? Good things come to those who wait. These are modern wisdom sayings, or like maybe YOLO. I don't know. Bye, Felicia, is that one? Probably not, I don't know. These are modern wisdom sayings that, like, they're not timeless, guys. They change weekly, all right? These change weekly. You can go on any social media feed, and man, they're full of nothing. I'm not going to bring this up because I despise this one so much. And telling all of you this, I guarantee that you will all tell me this all the time now, but I'm going to laugh. Also, I'll get frustrated inside. But it is what it is. Oh, my goodness. if there was a statement with so little wisdom in it, that would be it. What does that even mean? Oh, so yeah, I expect to hear that from everybody now. But yeah, these are modern wisdom sayings. They're not timeless at all right? They're filled with nothing, with empty promise, all right? So Proverbs 4:7 tells us that wisdom is supreme, all right? Solomon tells us to get wisdom. In fact, he tells us, get wisdom, even if it costs you everything, get wisdom. So God wants us to have wisdom. So we need to know what wisdom is, all right? Simply put, wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. Or like I tell my kids, it's not just having knowledge, but it's knowing how and when to use that knowledge, all right? Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. And God wants us to seek it, all right? And wisdom is the difference between a lot. Having wisdom is the difference between hope and despair. It's the difference between fulfillment and emptiness. It's the difference between isolation and community. It's the difference between lies and truth. And if you follow wisdom to its bitter end, it's the difference between life and death. All right, seek wisdom. Get wisdom, even if it costs you everything. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go straight to Proverbs, and we're going to see what God says about a topic that we need to know about, friendship. Before any of this happened over the past week and a half, 2 weeks, God put a message on my heart. He was preparing me for something I wasn't even aware was going to happen. He brought me to Proverbs 27, which talks about very real relationships and friendships and how to care for each other properly. So God was speaking to me, and he was preparing me. All right? But before we even get into it, who do we take our cues from? We take our cues from Jesus Christ, right? That's our target. That's who we look to, all right? That's who we take our cues from. So what did Jesus do when it came to friendship? Well, as soon as he began his ministry, he immediately surrounded himself with 12 men to have relationships with, the disciples, right? So even Jesus knew he couldn't do it alone. He knew he needed community. So right there, if anything else I say throughout the rest of this message falls on deaf ears, take that. If Jesus did it, we'd be wise to follow what he did. Surround ourselves with people who love Jesus Christ. All right? So as I was preparing for this and doing some research, I came upon something that we don't really need to give a name to, but I'm going to. It's just so obvious. It's all around us. But putting a name to it sometimes helps. So over the past 10 or 15 years, our culture has been experiencing something that like social scientists and people who do research and all that stuff have been calling the loneliness epidemic. All right? And it's only getting worse. So I'm not going to get into the details of it, but I'm referencing two surveys done by Cigna and BBC. If you want to Google it, you can Google it, find out all the details on it. But that's who I'm going to be. And these are two. So they did a worldwide independent survey of tens of thousands of people worldwide. All right, and these are two separate entities doing independent survey from each other, okay? They came to the same startling results, all right? But before I do that, I want to tell you, they define loneliness as the gap between desired social relationships and actual relationships. So pretty much what that means is, these are the friends I have, these are the friends I want. The gap in between that. All right, so 61% of Americans feel lonely. They admit to having no meaningful in-person social interaction on a daily basis, 61%. So it's less worldwide, but as you narrow the scope on Americans, it gets less. Or it gets more, 61%, it goes up. And as you narrow down generations, that number increases. For millennials, it goes up even more. For Gen Z, 79% of Gen Z admits to having no in-person, meaningful social interaction on a daily basis. We realize social media use only increases that percentage because we only put our best face forward, right, on social media. So you're getting the best of people, and those artificial lives only produce superficial interaction. So no wonder that people are lonely. You know, and I bring this up because many of us experience this and are experiencing this, and over the past 2 weeks, that may have been magnified, experiencing loneliness. I know that's definitely true in my life, all right? But before we get into the actual text here, I am going to give a disclaimer. Sorry. It's very important, okay? No friendship or relationship that we will have will fulfill us and satisfy us like Jesus Christ. Very important to remember this, okay? Because we're going to be talking about friendship amongst each other, all right? But if you're trying to look for the friendship and relationship that Jesus Christ models in someone else, you're setting them up for failure, and it's going to result in frustration and hurt, okay? Jesus Christ is the only one who can fulfill us like we need. God gave us his only son to die for us so that we can have a direct relationship with him. That's friendship. It does not get better than that. All right? However, wisdom presses us to find people, to surround ourselves with people who model that same love, mercy, grace, and friendship that Jesus models. All right? So there's both. The example of Jesus, and then finding people who love Jesus so much that they want to model that type of friendship. It's important. So when we think of friendship, I automatically think of Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, which says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." When we think of friendship, right, this hits a nail on the head. Getting together, hanging out, encouraging each other, having a good time, right? That's friendship. But the thing is here, what I'm going to talk about today goes a little deeper. Proverbs 27 talks about something a little bit deeper. All right? So we're going to go into that. I'm going to read, we're only going to be in three verses today. And we're going to go through them, and we're going to talk about them in depth. So I'm going to read all three, and then we're going to go one by one. So Proverbs 27, verses 4 through 6. "Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Okay, so verse 4. It's not directly talking about friendship, but it's very important. All right, I got to stand up. Getting kind of worked up, get ready to do this. That was comfortable, but this is more comfortable. So, verse 4, "Anger is cruel and fury is overwhelming, but who can stand against jealousy?" The word fury here is synonymous with resentment and hatred, okay? So what this verse is really important because although it's not talking directly about friendship, it's giving us context for the next two verses because the next two verses are directly talking about friendship. So this verse is very important because the next two verses may be hard to swallow, but this one's giving us context. A wise person, all right, isn't going to let this stuff that we're talking about here control their actions. Solomon is saying here that anger hurts people, and resentment overwhelms people, and jealousy cuts them right off at the knees, so there's no fighting chance. All right, so a wise person is not going to let anger, resentment, and jealousy control them, all right, or direct their decisions and their actions. Let's remember this. Seriously, we need to remember this, okay, as we discuss the next two verses. Because as difficult as the next two verses may sound, the assumption is that it's not coming from a place of resentment, hatred, and jealousy. Let's remember that. Verse 5, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love." All right, when we hear that rebuke, think of correction. All right? What this verse is saying is it's better for someone to openly correct me than to not say anything at all and then call that love. Because that's not love. What is that then? If you don't openly rebuke somebody, all right? It's called hidden love. What is hidden love? If we think about hidden love, we do this all the time. All the time. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, but knowing what it is will help us prevent doing it unintentionally. All right? Hidden love is, it's that stuff we do when someone offends us or somebody hurts us, but we don't say nothing about it, we don't address it, we don't call it out. All right? We just let it go. Maybe we make a justification for it. Maybe we make an excuse for it, all right? Or we're like, you know, oh, that's just Sylvia. Sylvia's crazy. Nobody's Sylvia, right? I picked the name of the note. So, like, you make excuses for it, but you're still hurt, right? Part of you is affected, but you didn't address it, okay? What about if you are hurt, okay, and you don't address it, and you just go on with your day? It does hurt you. All right, but you're like, whatever, just go on. You pass it off, you blow it off, you don't address it, you don't call it what it is. All right, that anger, or whatever little bit of pain that's in you, that grows. It can turn to anger, resentment, jealousy. And then what you do is you end up hurting the relation more in the long run. You end up doing what you were trying not to do, but you did it worse. That's hidden love. The longer you stay silent, that stuff builds, and the more damage you end up doing. Proverbs tells us, if we're going to choose friends, we should choose someone who's going to openly correct us. That's hard, right? All right, verse 6. We're going to spend a little bit more time on verse 6, keeping the first two verses we just talked about in mind. All right? Verse 6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. What we're going to do is we're going to break this in half. First, we're going to talk about wounds from a friend, and then we're going to talk about multiplying kisses. So, wounds from a friend can be trusted. I think it's really important to look at what it does not say. All right? It doesn't say wounds from an enemy. All right? An enemy is somebody who knows you. You may know them, and they don't have your best interest in mind. They want to hurt you. That's an enemy. We probably have someone in our head, maybe in our past or right now. Don't trust those wounds, all right? Wisdom is saying, don't trust those wounds, okay? It also does not say wounds from a stranger. A stranger is somebody that you don't know, all right? They also don't have your best interest in mind. They also would like to hurt you, all right? Wounds from a stranger. I mean, that this is the whole gambit. That could be from the guy driving next to you down Eggert who flips you off. Don't let that affect you. Don't trust that wound, all right? It could be every person on any social media feed who's trying to make you feel like a bad mom because you don't have a million activities every day for your kids, like you're crocheting on Monday and you're learning Cantonese on Tuesday. Like, you're not a bad mom. Don't trust those wounds. All right, but Proverbs saying there's a very specific type of wound that we should trust. That's a wound from a friend. A friend is somebody you absolutely trust. You know they have your best interest in mind. You know they don't intend to hurt you. They're not afraid to speak up, to tell you hard truth. They're not afraid to correct you. That's a friend. Guys, if you have someone in your life like this, if you have someone that you love, if you have someone that you trust, then you also have to trust when they wound you. All right? This is hard. But here's the thing, guys. Wounds hurt, right? They hurt. Wounds hurt. But Jesus did not come to make us feel better. He came to make us better. God uses wounds. He uses everything. Painful, upsetting, depressing, discouraging. He uses it all to grow us. So if you have someone in your life that you trust and you know they're walking with Christ, you have to trust those wounds too. Doesn't make it easy. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. What are you talking about, multiplying kisses? We're going to talk about that. Multiplying kisses, they're those people that only pat you on the back. You know, they only tell you you're doing awesome. They only encourage you and tell you, man, you're doing awesome when you're not. Dude, you're doing great when you're not. Oh, you're working through this problem really well when you're not. That's all. That's multiplying kisses, all right? They're the people that coddle your pride and coddle your ego. They're the people that value your feelings over truth. Those aren't friends. Consider those enemies. They are dangerous to you and your growth. Doesn't mean we can't love them, because we're called to. And we can be a friend back to them and correct them out of love. This works both ways. All right? These people that want to multiply kisses, they'd rather just, man, they don't care about you enough to have that hard conversation. They just rather avoid that awkward conversation, because it's awkward, right? Let's be honest. But if you care about someone enough, you're willing to suffer through that awkward conversation together. When rightly applied, which is wisdom, right? Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. We're gaining knowledge here. If we want God to turn it into wisdom, we have to rightly apply it. So this verse, rightly applied, can save marriages, can save friendships, can save relationships, can lead to huge relational, emotional, and spiritual growth when this verse is rightly applied. Proverbs is saying that a good friend is willing to offend you in the short term for your long-term well-being. Without a friend like this, we're left to do this life on our own. How's that going, guys? I'll speak up. I'll say it. It's going really bad. It's going bad. And it has went horribly in the past when I tried to do it on our own. Let's be real. Be honest. Like, we're not here to, like, put on a fake face. Get real. Doing life by yourself, yeah, it's you tell yourself it's fun, right? Because you have all the independence and this and that, and you're not accountable to anybody. But it only leads to more hurt. It's painful. So do you have a friend like this? Because, like, we just looked at the facts. Most of us don't. In fact, 61% of Americans don't. I would think the number would be a little bit different in here. And knowing this church and knowing the people that fill this church, there's some real people in here. So I'm thankful for that. But we try to do it on our own, and it's evident by the facts we just talked about, and by, like, self-help is number one in books and podcasts. Like, overwhelmingly number one. We're trying to do it on our own. It's because this type of friend is increasingly difficult to find. Why is this type of friend increasingly difficult to find? Well, it appears that our culture is experiencing a vast and sweeping hypersensitivity. Yeah, laugh, please. Because it's just mentioning the term sensitivity, people get sensitive, right? Okay, so before, man, the greatest offense right now is to offend people. Exactly. So before I offend you guys, right, hear me out. Let's get centered, all right? Let's get focused. And whenever we need to do that, we go back to God's word, all right? Proverbs 27, verse 4, what did it say? Look at that. Good job, Neil. Anger is cruel and fury is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? We're going into this truth that we're about to hear, with the assumption that it's not coming from a place of anger, resentment, or jealousy, but that God has wisdom for us that he wants us to apply to our life. Don't get me wrong when I talk about hypersensitivity and offending people. It's wrong to offend people for the sake of offending people. That's wrong. All right? It's wrong to try to hurt people and offend them just trying to do it. That's wrong. All right? That's not what Jesus calls us to do. Okay? But the problem is here, this focus on not offending people, it appears to have expanded and leaked into areas of our lives that it does not belong. All right? And I'm going to give you two examples, and we're not going to stay on them long. I'm just going to give you two examples to prove the point. Okay? And we're going to remember Proverbs 27, verse 4, as we discuss this. Number one, cancel culture. That's a great example. Writing off an entire person or people or whatever because of something they've done in the past. Like, there's a big push for that. We see it in everything, all right? I want to make a Mandalorian reference, but I'm not going to, and I just did in saying that I wasn't going to. Well, it was the way for her. Now she doesn't have a job because she had an opinion, and people canceled her. Whatever the, I don't even know what the opinion is. I don't know if I agree with it or not. I'm just saying, like, canceling people because of opinions and things they've done in the past. How is writing off an entire human being, organization, or institution, how does that align with the mercy and forgiveness that Jesus was constantly talking about? Like, I know we want to, but it doesn't align with what Jesus Christ always talked about. If it was something criminal they did in their past, run them through the justice system. That's why it exists. But if it was something offensive they did 10 years ago, how about we pray and we hope for growth? Okay? I'm not the same person I was 15 years ago. The majority of you in here would be shocked if you knew who I was 15 minutes ago. And if you want to know, come ask me and I will tell you gladly, because that's what Jesus Christ does in a life. So instead of just canceling a person off, how about we do what Jesus did and we come beside that person, all right? And we walk with them and we help them. We tell them a hard truth that is awkward and difficult, all right? And we work with them out of love, because that's what Jesus did. Don't just write off an entire person because of a mistake or something like that, guys, all right? The second one, safe spaces. Safe spaces. Listen, it's good, right? It's a good concept. However, this is how safe space is defined. An environment intended to be free of bias, conflict, or criticism in order to protect a person or a category of people from emotional harm. All right? Super popular on a lot of college campuses. All right? Which is a place of learning, right? Well, how is a place... Don't you think a place of learning should be full of competing ideas, and those ideas are always biased, and those ideas are always in conflict with other ideas, and those ideas should always be open to criticism, because if they're not, that defeats the purpose of being in an environment where you're trying to learn. But that's not even the worst damage. The worst damage I want to talk about is that definition. An environment intended to be free of bias, conflict, and criticism in order to protect a person or category of people from emotional harm. That definition right there equates criticism or conflict with emotional harm. It's saying that criticism equals emotional harm. The problem here, guys, that's the exact opposite of what Proverbs just told us. Proverbs just told us that a good friend is someone who's willing to risk conflict with us, willing to criticize and correct us for the sake of our good and our well-being. Proverbs also just told us people that aren't willing to do that, people who want to coddle our pride and our emotions, they're like enemies to us, all right? So there's a direct conflict here. The wisdom of God is in direct conflict with the wisdom of the world. See, the world is taking a biblical definition of a good friend and they're redefining it as emotionally harmful. And then we wonder, why are we so lonely? Because we think surrounding ourselves with people who are going to challenge us, is harmful. Maybe in the moment it's harmful, but it leads to growth. So, applying what God is talking to us about, all right? What is wisdom, guys? Knowledge rightly applied, all right? So it's not just having knowledge, because we can have lots of knowledge, right? But if we're not applying it at the right time and in the right context, then it's not very wise. So, taking this and applying it, we know that we should have friends like this. But it sounds dangerous, Jake.
Yeah, it can be dangerous.
It definitely has the opportunity for loss, pain, hurt. It can be dangerous. But it's a lot less dangerous than trying to figure out children, parenting, schooling, dating, marriage, addiction, depression, all of that on your own in isolation. That's a lot more dangerous. Okay, so as I was trying to think of how to apply this, I was brought to Psalm 141, verse 5. It says, this is David speaking. He says, "Let a righteous man strike me, that is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, that is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of evildoers." King David is literally asking for a friend to wound him here. God used him amazingly. We should be like King David. Sometimes you got to ask for it. Sometimes you got to seek it out. So as I see it, we have two options, okay? First one, we can live unoffended lives, all right, where we try to navigate life being unoffended. All right, it's going to lead to less growth, and it's going to be lonely. Or option two, we can be vulnerable to a select few, put ourselves out there, all right, with the potential of awkwardness and hurt, but it's going to lead to growth, it's going to honor God, and you're going to get to experience deep friendship, which is special. So now faith is choosing which one of those options that you think is going to work out better in your life. That's faith. Which one of these options do you think is better for your life? Are you going to choose the wisdom of the world, or are you going to choose the wisdom of God? We know we can say we want to choose the wisdom of God. That choice is difficult. Okay? But faith is choosing which one you think is going to work out better. So what do you have faith in, the wisdom of God or the wisdom of the world? I personally trust God's wisdom. All right? I know from experience that I need friends like this. I know from experience. All right? I need friends in my life who care enough about me to deliver hard truth when I need it. And then they're going to suffer through that awkward conversation with me for my own good. There are a handful of dudes in this room right now who have sat with me through very difficult things on my behalf, mistakes I have made, things that I have done wrong. And they have had the courage, because they're dudes that love Jesus, they've had the courage to call me out, some with grace, some not. But you know what? I take it all. Because God uses it all. But I know that I need people in my life like that. Jesus did too, guys. That means we all do. And having conversations over the past week and a half, it's been good talking through things. But I've come to the conclusion in my life that I will still be vulnerable with people, and I will still open up to people, knowing that it could potentially lead to hurt. It could potentially lead to loss. It could potentially lead to things that are hurtful and sad. All right? But this is why.
Because in my life, it is worth that loss that I may be feeling, that I am feeling, I'll be completely honest. It is worth that pain, that hurt, that loss that I'm feeling because I got a certain amount of time to experience true friendship in a relationship completely centered on honoring God. It was worth it. And if you can have people in your life that you are centered on God together, and that is a true friendship, that you're both trying to honor God as you work together, and you're willing to have those hard conversations and that awkwardness and the difficultness, that difficulty together, it's worth it. It's worth it. It honors God. Anything that honors God is worth it. So there's three things that I know all of us in this room can do as we leave today. And I challenge you guys to do one of these three things. Do this. All right? Because one of these three things will apply to each one of us. First, is as I'm talking, I know you. Some of you have names in your head. All right? Some of you are like, oh yeah. Well, yeah, he's always been there. Or that dude's pretty solid in his faith. And, you know, or that this girl, she's always there. Or whatever it is. You have a name in your head. Go talk to that person. As soon as we're done here, if they're in here, talk to them right after church. If they're not, give them a call. Text them. Start that conversation. Sometimes you need to give people permission. Sometimes people want to speak into your life like that, but they don't know if they have permission. Give them permission to be this kind of friend. But you got to do it. You got to take that step. All right? Second, some of us are like, yeah, I don't know a person like that. And that's okay. We're all there at some time, right? The good thing is, here at Grace, we are all about connecting people. We're all about getting people connected. The best way to get to know somebody, serve with them, man. There's so many ministries that that God could use even more if there's people willing to step in. Marissa talked about Grace Kids. Grace Students is in need of leaders. If you like working with stuff and fixing stuff, man, stewardship teams, hang out with them. If you like to get involved in the community, you want to reach people, missions team's ready. Step up. They need people. There's ministries all over the place. We want to get people connected here. And when you do that, you're going to learn people's hearts. And you're going to see, man, this place is filled with people that love Jesus and want to be this type of friend that we're talking about. But you got to get connected. That's something you could do today. Third one, life groups. And this is where community gets real. We got like, what, 15 life groups? You got something for everybody. Young, old, I don't know, everything. Animals. I don't think there's a life group for animals. I don't know why I said that. That'd be weird. It's a life group for everybody. All right, go on the website. Talk to us back at the Welcome Center afterwards. Get involved in a life group. Get connected to the people here. Life groups are awesome, guys. And that's where community gets real. And that's where you get to learn people's hearts. All right? And that's where friends are going to reside. All right, so there were some hard things, for me at least, going through this message. But my prayer has been that we listen to what God had to say, because Jesus needed people in his life. All right, he needed people to walk through life with. For us to think that we can do it on our own, different than what Jesus did, we're wrong. All right, and this isn't just about us trying to find friends. This is also about us being this type of friend that we talked about. It goes both ways, all right? If we're just giving hidden love to people that we care about, do you really care about that person? It sounds like you care about that awkward conversation more than you care about the person. Guys, we got to have the courage that God calls us to, all right? We got to have the courage to care about people enough to suffer through difficult things together. It's hard. It's really hard, all right? But if you care about somebody enough, you can reluctantly wound them in the short term for their long-term growth in their faith with Jesus. It's difficult, but that's what God calls us to be real friends, to be wise friends. Take one of these three steps today.
Because wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. We have knowledge now, but if we're not applying it, we're not very wise. All right, as worship team comes up, we're going to end in prayer. God, we love you. We love you a lot. We're thankful for the ways you grow us. Sometimes the ways that you choose to grow us are very painful and difficult. But you know what's best for us. You have our best intentions in mind. You are a friend. You're not a stranger. You're not an enemy. You want us to grow closer to you. You want us to know you more. You want us to know you better. So even when things are difficult and hard to swallow, Lord, we thank you and praise your name for those trials, because that's when things are, that's when there's an opportunity to know you more. God, I pray for us as Grace to understand what it means to be a wise friend and to have wise friends. I pray that we'll seek these friends out, not just hear a word and then let it just float off into the week, but that we'll take that word and we'll apply it to our life, because that's what you says wisdom is. We need friends in our life. And yeah, that offers the opportunity for hurt and loss and pain. But God, it glorifies you when brothers are united. I pray for all of us, Lord, that we will seek you this week like crazy, and that you will bless us with people who care about us, that our eyes will be open to people around us who want to be this type of friend. And if there's areas in our life we could take that self-assessment, see if it lines up with this, and see if we're being this type of friend to others. But over all of this stuff, God, you are the best friend that any of us will ever have. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You give us the comfort that we seek. When we're sad, when we're lonely, when we're depressed, you are who fulfills us. You are who fills us up. You alone. God, you are good. To your name be the glory forever and ever. Amen.